Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, 7 to 9 verses. Will be today's main text. Those who guide you. Those who guide you. Under that title, we will contextualize today's teaching. Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, is a concluding message regarding the new covenant, a new promise, which is far better than the old covenant. In the Old Testament's period to worship, God would have the worshipers congregate at a certain location. There was a distinction between the life of worship and the life of daily living, the livelihood of earthly life. We are the new covenant people, New Testament's devotees. We are the devotees that embodies the life of worship in our livelihoods, which is far better, superior. In our daily lives, we embody the life of worship and glorify God. And amid your life of worship, we have learned in the past weeks of the fellowship love. And amid our livelihoods, we are to glorify His name by loving each other. We are the New Testament's devotee to each other. We are siblings. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, under His household, God's household, which refers to being in the same household, same family members in Jesus Christ. We are of that bond. And we have congregated here at the church. A church is a place where people who believe in God together, Jesus, and in the Spirit, we have been born again together. We are the unified saints under Jesus Christ and a member of His family, a spiritual family to each other. This is our relationship to each other and how we are centered by the church. Starting from the chapter 7 and verses 7 to 9, we will tell us how we are to together worship God and worship. In today's main text, regarding the leadership of the church, He speaks to us. There are three components which I will share with you. The leaders of the church, who are they? And what are their roles and what are their duties? Let us learn together. Secondly, to the devotees, regarding the leadership and the leaders, it admonishes us to emulate their leadership and their life of faith. They sedulously teach the word and try to usher you into the upright posture of faith, but then there are others who are false teachers who will teach you, instill false doctrines in you, so that you will be led astray. That leads to damnation. We must be wary of that and put your guards up, it teaches us. Firstly, in the church, we have leaders. Secondly, their roles and duties, they are codified to us. And verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Those who guide you. Speaking of the leaders at the church. Today at the church, the pastor is the leader. And then we have elders and the various others who has roles and cell leaders. They are the ones who lead us, our life of faith, who ushers into the right posture of faith. It is their mission. They are your spiritual leaders. They are the leaders of the church to lead an upright faith. You must rightly learn it, thereby leading the life of faith that God will be pleased by. And God, He has established this church. And He has also assigned the people to lead the church. Regarding the leaders of the church, Book of Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, verse 24, it continues to tell us what that is. Verse 17, it says, to those who lead you, obey them and oblige. It says something to the effect. It tells us the teachings of the leaders, we must oblige and obey, thereby learning the upright faith. You cannot lead a life of faith according to your own thoughts and ideologies. You cannot posture yourself in faith. You have to learn the right faith and lead a pious life according to it. Here, verse 17 and 24, those who guide you. That title, at the church, they are alive and they are the living leaders. In today's main text, the leaders mentioned in the verse 7, they are dead. They once led a life of faith with us, and they have led us into the spiritual life. They were persecuted, and they were martyred. And their conducts and tells us to be mindful of their life. The last moments of their life, we must be mindful of it and model ourselves after the end of their lives, what they had led toward the end of their lives. And it tells us at that time, what was the environment of their life of faith at that time? They embraced death, and in the name of God, they have upheld the word. And today, Book of Hebrews, we are sharing the word together. And the teachings of the Book of Hebrews is telling us about this is a letter that was sent to the devotees who embraced death to uphold the word. Our life is hard and have so much stress, and some people seek healing words, some consoling words. I need to take refuge in consoling words, you could say to yourselves. But if you have this attitude, you cannot receive the word being taught to you today. You have to readjust your posture of faith and worship today. The Book of Hebrews, they embrace death to uphold the word and to worship God properly. And in that attitude, they worship God. You have to be earnest and solemnly receive the word. The words that you receive today, the good words, the consoling earthly words, it's not that at all. It's the opposite. You are to embrace death, and you are to even envision becoming a martyr in His name. And with this attitude, you have to receive the word. You have to subject your lives in that posture. You have to receive the word. I pray in His name that you will. Verse 17, if you look at it again, regarding the leaders, it tells us, it characterizes it this way, the word of God, who spoke the word of God to you, again, who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. The leaders are enlightening us on the word of God and leading us into the righteous faith. It is their duty and their mission, the pastors and the elders, and those who have various duties and roles, and the cell leaders. They are to teach the devotees, parishioners at the church, what a sin is, and the ill-fated result of the sin, and how damning it is, and how horrific it could be if you sin, and those who transgress against the word, and how God has sent His Son to absolve us of the sins and conducted His salvific work to save us. And you have to teach them to repent fully, and that they will lead a sacrificial life in the name of God. You have to guide them this way, the leaders and the church. And people make light of the life of worship, it appears sometimes, but collectively we are worshiping God, and culturally carving out their life of faith. You have to tell them not to do this, and that you have to become a warrior of God and track the path for them to follow and inculcate them to the importance of the evangelization and saving the souls of others. And we have to guide them like this. This is the role and the duty and the mission of the leaders of the church. And today, pacifying bottles to people, devotees, and sulking and pouting people and trying to appease. We are not to do this. Yes, it is true that the new devotees who just recently joined, you might have to step by step, gradually, usher them into the tough love of God, but we are not at that level, are we? No, you cannot be fed with the pacifier. We are mature devotees, the leaders. To those young devotees, you have to cultivate them to be a mature warrior of God and track the path. This is what the leaders are to do. Inculcate the teachings of God and definitively tell them what a sin is and proclaim how wrong it is and convey the power of God so that they will subject their lives in the name of God as martyrs and as devotees of God. You have to teach them this is what a pastor is, this is what an elder is, this is what the leaders of the church is, and those who have duties and the cell leaders. This is our mission in life. You must do this. If you are not going to do this, then you are not to be ordained as the deacon. Today, you can submit your application to become a deacon. We will promote this tonight. If you are not up to it, do not apply. Hello, everyone. We will advertise it tonight, but without this kind of resolution and resolve, do not apply. You are sinning if you are doing this. In the latter portion of the verse 7, it tells us, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What are we to do? We have to model ourselves after their examples. All of the people who have been ordained with the mission and duties, you do not lead a solitary life. All are watching you, all eyes are on you, and we are to follow their examples and become an example for others to follow. But the name is the elder. But if you don't pray as an elder, who will emulate your way of life? That's not a good example, is it? When you apply to become a deacon, you are exclaiming and proclaiming that you will lead a righteous life, pious life. Isn't this so? Then why aren't you doing it? In His name you have professed and confessed. Then why aren't you doing it? If you can't do this, then you must abdicate your ordainment. I'm not really saying that you should abdicate it. What I am trying to say is do it properly. The leaders, the people who have the missions assigned to them. You have to be an emblem of faith and teach and usher people into the righteous life of faith so that they will embody the worship in their livelihoods. Let us assert ourselves to the effect. And secondly, these spiritual leaders tells us to humbly model ourselves after them. Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Think about them, remember them, it tells us, and humbly learn their ways and always be cognizant of it and minutely think about their ways of life, the exception of the disciple John, they all were martyred. John, although he was not martyred, he led a life as a martyr. And according to the faith, they would die and lead their lives, regardless of the hardship and the persecution. They followed Jesus Christ. They upheld the word that was consigned to them. That was their faith at the end. And we have to be mindful of this and follow their lead. This is what the verses are telling us. You have to subject your lives and face martyrdom. You have to follow Jesus. Verse 8, who is Jesus Christ? He is described in this manner. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Jesus, He is our God since the beginning of time. He radiates the glories of God, and He is equivalent to God. He is at the right hand of God, sitting at the throne. He is the glorious God to be with us. He was the Word, but He became the God incarnate, personified in our flesh, to be with us. He lowered Himself to be at our level, to be in our proximity. And through the resurrection, He has resolved the issues of sins once for all. And He has saved us from eternal damnation. And all those who now, if you believe in Jesus, if you rely on Him, then you will be absolved of all the sins that you have committed. And you will be His child. And you will enter the gates of heaven. And as the inheritors of His eternal heavenly kingdom, He has promised us. And all we have to do is believe in Him. Since the time of history, He was then, now, and forever. He was with us. And He will guide us forever. He is immutable in essence. Yesterday, today, and into perpetuity, He is one. Never changes. And the glories and the grace and the His power of restoration never changes. And more importantly, in the Word, the truthful Word of God, not even at the infinitesimal level, there doesn't change. There are immutable truth. The resurrection upon our death is promised to us. Those who die before us, they will be resurrected. Our parents, our children who have passed away before us, and our fellow Christians, our Suji's Ark fellow Christians, at the day of the rapture, we will all be erected again and be airborne. That day will come again, and we will all greet each other once again. This is the immutable truth, the eternal promise of God, and the eternal heavenly kingdom is also our new kingdom that has been promised us. You believe in Jesus Christ, even to the point of being martyred, it awaits us. And by the same token, there is also the hell. Does it exist? Of course it does. The eternal damnation. Hellfire never ceases to. There will be an eternal punishment. The forefathers of faith preceding us, they all earnestly, solemnly believed in Jesus. And the solemn promise of God, they did not discard or undermine it in any way. They stood on the Word and upheld the Word, preserved the Word, even in face of death. We too, we must embody their essence and sincerely, with all your heart, believe in Jesus and robustly stand on the Word and His teachings and embody the teachings of Jesus and embrace death and martyrdom. And I pray in His name that you will. And lastly, and do not be enticed by other teachings, He tells us. Verse 9, Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. Amen. God, He has established the new covenant and the promise to us and the people therein. And through them, He is trying to teach us to lead a pious life. On the other hand, but there are false teachings and doctrines that tries to make us aberrate from the teachings. So you must be wary. At the time, there were some heterodoxies that threatened our life of faith. For example, those who eat unkosher foods is an aberration. It would falsely teach us. We are speaking of the Judaic teachings of the past. There were edible foods and non-edible foods. The Israelites, the Old Testament, they were holy devotees of God. Hence, they couldn't eat anything that was available to them, but there was a classification of what you could and not eat. However, by Jesus Christ in the New Testament on the cross, He showed us our sins and He has absolved us from the sins. Hence, the old rituals are done with, and we no longer have to adhere to the old rituals. We are the new creatures of the New Testament. Hence, we do not have to emulate the rituals of the past or conduct them. Now we are to preserve the new teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ personally tells us, Book of Matthew 15:11, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, this is what defiles them. All that goes into the mouth, animals, insects, something along the lines of, it doesn't matter. What really defines us is the words that comes out of our mouth, what comes out from our hearts, murder, adultery, lies, and dishonesty, and sins, all derivatives of sins. This is what defines us. Something to the effect, it says, food has nothing to do with it, no longer. It does not make us more noble or defile us. It is the consumption of sin that defiles us. This is what the message is to us. Book of Hebrews definitively teaches us. Not by eating ceremonial foods, it reads. It's not an issue of eating food. You are to receive the word of God as your nourishment, and accordingly you uphold the word. This is what it's telling us. At the time in the gospel, they were legalistic and only taught the legalistic views of the teachings of God. But the issue was, they believed in Jesus Christ and had become new devotees of God and the new children of God. However, at the same time, they were enticed by other teachings at the same time. This is what the grave error was. And even reverted back to their old ways. And hence, we have to be wary of this and be careful of this. This has existed. It's an invariable part of our life. The heterodoxies and the false teachings always threatens us. Adam and Eve, He allowed us to eat all the foods available. However, there was one thing they could not touch, which was the forbidden fruit, He told them, and that you will die if you are to eat this. Hence, do not eat this. He commanded them not to eat it. But what had happened? But the serpent taught them a false teaching, told them that it's okay to eat it, you will not die, conveyed a false message, and Adam and Eve, what was the consequence of this? They disobeyed God and had eaten the forbidden fruit, and they were damned thereafter. And the serpent, and through other false serpentine teachings, trying to lead us into the eternal damnation. And this effort is relentless and ceaseless in other religions, telling us that there is salvation, that all religions embody the truth of God, and that there is salvation. Is this true? Really? Is it? Is this true? This is pluralism of religion, pluralism. This is a lie. It is prevaricating and trying to make us aberrant. You have to be wary and put your guards up. And pluralistic religious views, syncretism, and all movements, social movements to consolidate all of the religions. This is ushering us into the eternal damnation. So you have to be vigilant on this and be careful always. And communism, socialism, for example, teaching others that we should be embracing of this. And this is a severe issue currently. This is a lie. You have to be wary of this at all times. And based on the human wisdom and the experience and leading their life of faith based on human cognition and logic, this is wrong. They do not believe in the omnipotence of God. The human wisdom and the rationale of human, and in that level they try to rationalize the beingness of God. They do not believe in the omnipotent God. The book of Genesis, what does it say? In the beginning there was something along the lines of God had created us, it tells us. But the creator of God, they do not believe in. They do not believe in the biblical teachings. They adhere to the evolutionary teachings of science. This is a false doctrine. You have to be wary of this. And there is no sacrifice. There is no holy attributes. They are secular in every way, and they are pursuing their earthly pursuits and are moderates of religious people. This is an aberration. This is all encompassing the false teaching that envelops us right now. And Adam and Eve, and this is what had happened to them. Even now, in present day, the serpentine teaching still threatens us, leading us into the eternal damnation, and sedulously asserting themselves to this endeavor. But you must be mindful of this and keep your guards up at all times. The forefathers of faith, in the way they have led their lives and what they are teaching us, let us embody their essence and uphold the word based on that, and do not be heedful to the false teachings, and do not be enticed, and be vigilant on the false teachings. We are the new devotees of the new covenant, far better than the old covenant and the promise, and we embody the life of worship in our daily lives. You must learn the righteous way of worship. He has given us this holy communion, where we can communicate and lead the life of faith together. The church has been endowed to us, the elders, the pastors, and the cell leaders. And they are all our leaders. They are to convey the word of God to the end of having us leading the righteous life of faith, not just in words, but in our lives. Set an example in your conducts. Exhibit your life of faith, not just in words, and embrace death. Let us exert ourselves this week to this effect. And the devotees, the forefathers of faith, those who were martyred in the name of God, who had exemplified the Word of God, let us humbly learn the teachings and emulate their teachings and their ways, and be wary of false teachings, and assert ourselves at all times to uphold the Word. Jesus Christ, our glorious God, He is immutable, has never changed in essence. His love, His glory, His mercy is immutable, is unwavering. His new promise is eternal. The forefathers of faith, on grounds of His teachings, even to the point of dying, they have preserved the Word. We too, let us embody their teachings. Immutable Jesus Christ, His eternal promise, on this foundation, let us robustly make the resolve and lead a life of faith. Let us pray. Thank you.